Okay, good evening, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Boker Ton Midrashah Zoom Shir. Hope everybody is well. Thank Rabbi Shabtai once again for inviting me to present this shir. So let's get right into our learning. I am going to start with the following. This was actually in Mishpacha Junior. I think I'm the only one in my house who reads Mishpacha Junior. Some of the others flip through it. This was Mishpacha Junior, I think 2 weeks ago. Or last week. Here we go. They have a profile in Mishpacha Junior of every other week or every week where they interview a child who has a different illness. And they interview that child about living with that illness and what their illness is like. And reflections and lessons learned. Okay, and they call it Hidden Heroes. It's called the Hidden Heroes column, where they interview different children who are living with different chronic illnesses and their experiences. So this is called dealing with a type of mitochondrial disease, like mitochondrial disease. Gavriel is 16 years old. He lives in Israel and he learns in yeshiva, where he tries to be a masmid. He likes to read and learn about new things. Outdoor activity is difficult for him, but he loves horseback riding, therapy, and swimming. Gavi enjoys playing with small children. He likes to tell jokes and riddles to his family and friends to make them laugh. So then they ask questions to the person. So this is a 16-year-old boy who's living in Israel. So the interviewer says, at first you were like any other child. When did things change? What happened? Everything changed on Seder night when I was 4 years old. Without warning, my hand began to tremble. I couldn't make it stop. After a while, the muscles in my hand grew tired and it throbbed and it hurt. Then my other hand began to shake. I was taken to Tel HaShomer Hospital in an ambulance. Over the next few weeks, my whole body began trembling even when I slept. Doctors ran many tests. They tried different medications, but nothing helped. In the end, we were told I have mitochondrial disease and it's very rare. There are less than 10 children in the world who share my symptoms. It doesn't even have a specific name. It belongs to a category of mitochondrial diseases. Though some mitochondrial conditions are hereditary, mine is not. No one knows what to expect because there aren't enough cases. No one knows what caused it to suddenly appear. 16. What is mitochondrial disease? They asked him. In most cells in the body, mitochondria are responsible for producing the energy that our cells need to function. In mitochondrial disease, the mitochondria in the person's cell doesn't produce enough energy. Every person with mitochondrial disease is affected differently, depending on which cells are affected. Sometimes the condition is hereditary, but it also appears without previous family history, like in Gavi's case. Unfortunately, there's no cure. Doctors can only try to treat the symptoms. Now they ask him, how does having this rare problem affect your day-to-day life? In the beginning, my social life didn't change. My classmates and the Rebbe Mecheder knew me already for preschool, and everyone was my friend. The difficulties grew after my bar mitzvah when I went to a new yeshiva. My constant shaking causes people to stare at me. None of the other boys wanted to be friends with me. Some of them bullied or mocked me. I used to be outgoing, but now I'm shy in new situations. I dislike feeling isolated. I am a friendly person, and I want to have a lot of friends. But very few kids have the courage to get past appearances. Today I have some older friends who learn Gemara with me. They appreciate the person I am inside. I enjoy playing with babies and small children who don't care that I tremble all the time. What is the hardest part of mitochondrial disease? The constant trembling makes it extremely difficult for me to button buttons, tie shoelaces, and eat without spilling my food. My voice shakes. It's hard for me to express myself. When I try to write, my handwriting isn't neat. I cannot travel on public transportation without support. Sometimes I lose my balance and fall, but for me, I get up and keep going like nothing happened. Often, other kids laugh at me. They don't realize how difficult it is for me to walk. Even the ones who try to listen to me get frustrated when they can't understand what I say. Is there something you wish you could tell the world? If you are healthy, be grateful and don't take it for granted. If you see a kid with medical challenges, be friendly. Even just a nod and a warm smile can help them feel better about themselves and give them more strength for their ongoing struggles. A challenged kid may be starving for someone to just show a little interest. Listen with patience if it's hard to understand their words. Try to look deeper and see the real person inside. Are there any stories you would like to share? I only have sad ones. That's why I like to tell jokes and riddles, not to think about the sad stories. What's the best part of your condition? It's funny, but the hardest and best are related. Because my condition is so rare and no one knows what will happen, my family and I realize only Hashem can help. Perhaps it will disappear suddenly as it came. We daven a medicine will be found to help me live a normal life. I really just want to be like everyone else. Inside, I'm just a regular yeshiva bachur. My emunah is strong because I believe Hashem gave me this for my own good. I always try to be the best I can. There's an organization in Israel for chronically ill kids. I'm glad sometimes my parents and siblings can join and have a good time. Volunteers are wonderful, and I cannot thank them enough for giving their time and heart to give afflicted children wonderful experiences in camps and retreats. Any other tips for kids with chronic medical conditions? The Torah teaches us everything Hashem does is for the good, whether we understand or not. This world is temporary. Everyone has good things in their life along with challenges. Focus on the good and you can be happy. You are not defined by your medical condition. Your neshama is healthy, even if your body is not. There's a purpose to suffering, even when we don't understand. Meanwhile, it's our choice to be angry and bitter or happy and kind. Overcoming challenges makes us stronger. Someday in the future, we'll be glad because the pain brings us closer to Hashem. Before we segue into the Shir, I'm going to quote just a couple of sentences that I already said. None of the other boys wanted to be friends with me. Some of them bullied me or mocked me. I used to be outgoing, but I am shy in new situations. I dislike feeling isolated. I'm a friendly person and I want to have a lot of friends. But very few kids have the courage to get past appearances. Sometimes I lose my balance and fall, but I get up and keep going. Often the other kids laugh at me. They don't realize how difficult it is for me to walk. If you see a kid with medical challenges, be friendly. Even just a nod or a warm smile can help them feel better about themselves and give them more strength. When we look at the Chumash, we know very little about the Egyptian enslavement. It's extremely interesting. The Yidden were in Egypt, the Israelites were in Egypt for 210 years. We start the 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak. From the time that Yaakov came down, we start the count. And they were in Egypt for 210 years. That's a pretty long time. You know a little bit about the beginning when Yosef was still alive and providing for the people. And there are different ways of counting. Seder Olam says they were enslaved for 86 years. Our school to actually this week's Parsha, Parshas Va'era, when it records the years of the life of Levi in Perek Vav. So based on the life of Levi, we can figure out that they were in Egypt enslaved for 116 years. They were there for a long time. Of the either 86 years of slavery or 116 years of slavery, we know very few details. The Torah tells us about Shibud Mitzrayim and Perek Aleph. We have some stories in Perek Beis, narratives. And by Perek Gimel, Pasuk Av Moshe is already by the Sneh of age of 79-80 going to free the people. So in two short prakim, Perek Aleph has Chaf Beis Psukim, Perek Beis has Chaf Hei Psukim. In two brief Psukim, you've just learned about 116 years. We know very little of those 116 years. Let's look at some of what we do know. What does the Torah feel relevant to tell us? You know, there were millions of Jews in Egypt. I'm calling them Jews. I know Matan Torah didn't happen yet, okay? There are millions of Israelites at that point, B'nai Yisrael, literally. In Egypt, millions, about 2.5 million left, and that was only 1/5, because 4/5 died in Malchus Choshech. What are the few narratives that we do know that all share a common theme? And the common theme of whatever the Torah chooses to illustrate is chesed, rachamim, kindness. There's 116 years that passes in two short prakim. Perak av pasuch ches, v'yakam melech chalash al mitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef. V'perak av pasuch av beis, v'yomer al amal kol ben ha'yilara yari tashlichi, v'yitzav paro l'chol amal eimer, kol ben ha'yilara yari tashlichi, v'chol bas techayir. Am pasuk ches, v'pasuk chav beis, am then perak beis, pasuk aleph, through chav beis. That's 116 years. The Torah tells us almost nothing. We don't know the names of the Israelites. We know hardly any narratives. What does the Torah choose to tell us about those decades, that century in Egypt? I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. Joe, could you see it says Exodus chapter 1, Paul? Yeah, thank you very much. So the beginning tells us about the Egyptian enslavement and the children of Israel frou-frou and teeming of many. A new king arose, let's be strong against them, let's be wise. They put upon them tax collectors in order to afflict them with their oppression. They built storage cities. The Egyptians are disgusted from the Bnei Israel. They embitter their lives with hard work, with mortar, and with bricks, with all work of the field. And now we actually know one narrative, something that happens. We meet two people. We don't know what year this is in terms of the Egyptian enslavement. We don't know how long the babies were being thrown into the river for. But now Paro comes up with a program of infanticide. And the king of Egypt says to the midwives of the Hebrews that the name of one of them is Shifa and the name of the second one is Pua. And what does he say to them? When you birth the Hebrew woman and you see on the birthing stone, if it is a boy, he shall live. If it is a boy, you shall put him to death. If it is a girl, she shall live. And the midwives were God-fearing and they did not do what the king of Egypt said, and they kept the boys alive. Rashi says, Mas b'kosahan mayim umazon. They weren't passive and they said, we won't kill the babies. They went out of their way to ensure that the babies would live. So the king of Egypt calls them Mialdos. What did you do? They're like animals, the Hebrew women. They don't need us. God rewarded them. The Mialdos were God-fearing. So one thing we know is with Techayana es hayoladim, and we already saw what Rashi says, they kept the boys alive by feeding them. Maspikos, mayim umazon. They weren't passive. They had mercy on these children. Furthermore, let's talk for a minute about their names. What are their names? Shifra and Pua. We finally meet, okay? 116 years. We know nothing about anybody. We meet these two heroines who saved the babies. Shifra. Why is she called Shifra? She's Yochavet, says Rashi. Al shem shemisha peres es havalad. She beautifies the child. Shifra's from the word shofar, which means to beautify. Because she would beautify the child at birth. What about Pua? This is Miriam. Why is she called Pua? She coos and she talks and she sings lullabies to the baby. The way of women who appease a crying child. 116 years, we know nothing. And all of a sudden we meet these two women. And what does the Torah want to point out to us? That these women were rachmanim. Rachmanim. They had mercy. They were compassionate. They cast their lot with the downtrodden. When somebody fell, they didn't laugh. Rather, they went to their best efforts to pick them up and make them feel good about themselves. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Shalom Rosner in a Sefer Shalom Rav. I actually saw the same insight brought down in Pninim al HaTorah. And he says something very interesting about the name Shifra and Pua. Who are these two midwives? Chazal tell us that they were Yochaved and Miriam. Yocheved, she would beautify the child. Miriam, she would coo to the baby. Rabbi Rosner says, what was so significant about beautifying and coddling the babies? The Torah named the midwives for these actions. Maybe they should call them Wonder Woman, Heroine 1 and Heroine 2. These details seem so inconsequential compared to the big picture of what Yocheved and Miriam were doing by saving the lives of the Jewish children. Who cares if they sang them a lullaby? Who cares if they beautified the child and wiped off the embryonic fluid? Who cares if the child's dirty or clean? Pharaoh's about to throw you in the river. He quotes Rabbi Ruchem Levavit Zatzal, who suggests, and I saw this, I told you in another Sefer Pinim al Torah, famous for Rabbi Ruchem Levavit, suggests that these seemingly little actions were tremendous. I first heard this told over years ago by Rabbi Shai Shechter, and I saw it sourced in these two different Sfarim. Rabbi Ruchem Levavit suggests that these seemingly little actions were tremendous. Great people take little things and make them great. A person, a great person, views the smallest detail in context, seeing every tiny opportunity as a way to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every small act in reality is great. They didn't say this is a small action. They said it's a great action to make a baby happy. It's a great action to clean the child before I give it to the mother. It's not small, it's great. Great people see small actions as great potential, and they seize that. On the other hand, small people are the opposite. They take great things and they trample them, minimizing truly tremendous opportunities. All they were doing was coddling the babies, cleaning them, cooing. Seems like such a small act. But in actuality, they were saving Am Yisrael. They were giving these children a chance to survive. Therefore, Yocheved and Miriam are not introduced as Yocheved and Miriam. They're introduced as Shifra and Pua, to remind us of seemingly small actions that are really great achievements. There's no such thing, says the Ruchem Levavit, of a big or small opportunity. It depends on us. And he gives examples. When we drive carpool, when we pick up a grocery item, when we're fulfilling the mitzvah of educating children or honoring parents, every little act can be turned into something great. We need to look at the small things in life and realize the amazing impact that they have. It's the little things that make a great person. I think it's such a powerful and important word. The first thing we actually know about two Israelites, the Miyaldas and Irios, is that they understood that through being kind to somebody else, even if it's a very small action, you can build somebody up. You can save a life, literally and proverbially. Gavi says, sometimes I lose my balance and I fall. But I just get up and keep going like nothing happened. Often other kids laugh at me. They don't realize how difficult it is for me to walk. Even the ones who try to listen to me get frustrated when they can't understand everything that I'm saying. Shifra and Pua had to have patience with the Jewish mothers. They had to have compassion on the babies. They had to go the extra mile to sing a song and coo under the worst conditions in history. But they did it because a great person sees small opportunities and make them great. They asked the famous Maisa was told over after David Feinstein, Zatzal, was Nifter a year and a half ago. And I was just at the Darche dinner last night. It was unbelievable. So Yibadu Chaim Tovim Veruchim, Rav Shmuel Kamenetzky, Rav Ruven Feinstein Shlita were there. So they asked Rav David Feinstein, they were asking a number of people, if you could have a meal with anyone in history, who would you want to have a meal with? So someone said the Chofetz Chaim, someone said Moshe Rabbeinu, and someone said Rav Akiva Eger, somebody said Rav Akiva, somebody said Aaron HaKohen, someone said Sarah Schneer, someone said the Chassam Sofer. So they came to Rav David Feinstein and they said, if you could have a meal with any person in the history of the Jewish nation, who would you have a meal with? And he answered, any three aniyim, any three paupers, any three people who are lacking, who have nowhere to go, who need kindness, who need a friend, that's who I want to have a meal with. The first thing the Torah tells us about Shibun Mitzrayim, not in a generic national scale, by Yomar Rosh Chayehem, whose lives are they bitter? We don't know. Bavoda Kasha, what Avoda Kasha? Bechomer, I know what the Gemara says, switching the work. There's no names, there's no details. It's a generic enslavement happening to a whole nation. And all of a sudden the Torah says, Nevua Shehut Zerichu L'Doros Nichtava. You know what you have to know, Shifra and Pua? Just tell me they're Yocheved and Miriam. They're so famous, they're the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. They took the time to pick up a baby that fell. They took a wet washcloth to make sure the baby was clean. They took an extra 30 seconds to sing a baby song, to coo to the child. Not to go through the task by rote, to make a person feel like a person. That's the first thing we know. That's the next thing we know. So we finish the Maisa with power and the midwives. That's the very next thing we know. Perek Beis. That's the next thing we know. A family. A Levi family. A man from the house of Levi went and he took a dar of Levi. By the way, it's still anonymous. But we're having a detailed story. And the woman conceived and she gave birth to a son and she saw that he was good and she hid him for 3 months. She cannot hide him anymore. She makes a little teva and she puts it into the reeds by the Nile River. What's the next thing you know? That we don't abandon a fellow Jew. That we stick to each other. That we stand to watch in the reeds if somebody's in trouble, in danger, in pain. That there's another Jew standing by to see how they will do. To know what will happen to him. And the Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter goes down to bathe in the river and she sees this little teva and she sends forth her hand and she opens it. And she sees this little child. Vihine nar bocha, says the Baal Turim, Aaron was there crying. Vihine nar bocha indicates something other than the yallad in the basket. There's somebody else watching. We don't abandon our people. Two Jews watching a baby in trouble. Because a yid should never feel that they're alone. In the beginning, my social life didn't change. My classmates in the Rebbeim knew me already from preschool. Everyone was my friend. The difficulties grew after my bar mitzvah when I went to a new yeshiva. My constant shaking causes people to stare. None of the other boys wanted to be friends with me. Some of them bullied or mocked me. I used to be outgoing, but now I'm shy in new situations. Atiftach. And then the Egyptian princess, the first righteous Gentile in the history of the world, opens this little basket, and she sees that there's this little baby, and she hears crying. She has mercy. You don't know anything about 116 years. 116 years. You could fill volumes and volumes and volumes. 365 days times 116. I didn't do the math, but it's a big number. I know nothing about this time. It's a nameless time. It's a dark time. It's Hester Punim. Beating a mirror and charosis and bricks and salty water for the tears. I know nothing. Every narrative the Torah chooses to illustrate is one that outlines compassionate people. Caring people. People who stop and take notice when someone else is suffering and extend their hand. Vatishlach es amosa. Her hand grew by Amos to save the baby. And the sister says to Bas Paro, should I go and call for you a witness from the Hebrews? And she will nurse the child. And Bas Paro says, please go. And the girl goes and she gets the mother of the child. Bas Paro says, take what is yours and nurse the baby and I'll give your wages. What's the next thing we know? Next thing we know. This time, according to the Ramban, Moshe was about 20. It was in those great days, and Moshe grew up, and he went to his brothers. Vayar b'sivosam. What's the next thing you know? That someone who grew up in the palace chose to go out to see how his brothers were faring. Today, I have some older friends who learned Gemara with me. They appreciate the person I am inside. I enjoy playing with babies and small children. They don't care that I tremble all the time. Moshe went out from the comfort of the palace to see how his brothers were faring. The Torah thinks that's very important for us to know. A lot of things happened in this century. A lot. They were there for so many years. What happened? I don't know. Doesn't matter. You don't have to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to know, says Ribbono Shel Olam. You need to know that Am Yisrael is a nation of mercy, and that's our foundation. And that's the only thing the Torah illustrates. Look at all the narratives before the snare when Moshe was chosen as the Redeemer. They share one theme. Moshe went out to his brothers. He saw their affliction. Their affliction was his affliction. And he sees an Egyptian man hitting a Hebrew from his brothers. He looks this way and that way. He sees there's no man. He smotes the Egyptian and he hides him in the sand. And then the next day he goes out. And he sees two Hebrews fighting and he wants to bring shalom. Bein Adam Lechaveru. What are you doing? Why are you hitting your fellow? and he runs away. And he ends up in the Be'er. According to the Ramban, there are 60 years between these two incidents. And what's the next thing you know? The priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and every day they would come to the well. And they would fill up the troughs to water the flocks of their father. And every day, the big bad shepherds would come and chase them away. And at the age of about 80, 79, close to 80, Vayakam Moshe Vayoshi'an. Moshe got up and he saved them. He chased away the big bad shepherds. Vayashkat Sonam. And he gave their flocks to drink. And they come to Reuel, their father. Why were you so fast today? They say, oh, an Egyptian man saved us and he drew water for us. He says, where is he? Why did you leave him? Bring him. Let's give him a meal. Hachnasas Orchem. Look at every narrative that the Torah tells us about this time. They all have a common theme. Ben Adam Chaveiro, kindness for others. All the protagonists act in a way of compassion. That's what Am Yisrael is built on. And he marries Zipporah. The last 3 psukim of Perek Beis, psukim Chav Gimel through Chav Hei, or what Salvecha calls, or what the Rav calls the bridge between Hester Panim and Gilui Shechina. What's the next thing you know? Now Moshe was a shepherd of the flocks of Yisro's father-in-law, and he leads the sheep into the desert. And he comes to the mountain of God, Horeb. And an angel of Hashem appears from him from a flame of fire, from a thorn bush. Why a thorn bush, says Rashi? Mitoch ha-sneh, velo ilan acher, says Rashi, look on the side of the screen. Mishum imo nochi b'tzara. There's been a constant, continuous theme. And the things that the Torah chooses to narrate for us. You must feel the pain of another person. Imo anochi b'tzara. And that's why God appears in a thorn bush. You have to feel when your brother is suffering. Look at every narrative. Midwives who were compassionate. But techayana asayaladin. Maspikos lehamayin umazo. Shifra and pua. Such a big deal to coo and clean the baby. Yes, it's going the extra mile. To be extra considerate. And so they go down in history as the woman who cleaned the baby and the one who cooed to the child. Because great people take small actions and make them great. Choose anyone in history who you would like to have a meal with. The Rambam? Oh my gosh. Rashi? Balaturim? The tour? The Rama, Rav Yosef Karo, I'd like to sit together with him in his shul in Sfas. So if David Feinstein, I don't want to have a meal with any 3 in the room. We need a place. Big people, giant people, take small actions and they make them big. Gavi is 16 years old. He lives in Israel. He learns in yeshiva. He tries to be a masmid. He likes to read and learn about new things. He loves horseback riding therapy and swimming. He enjoys playing with small children. He likes to tell jokes and riddles to his family and his friends to make them laugh. And then we read of a sister and a little boy crying on the banks of a river, not to abandon a Jewish baby. And then we learn of the righteous Gentile, the Egyptian princess. I know, according to Drash, she went down to convert. That's not on the Pshat. Tell me about what's the Pshat telling you. Vatachmol alav. A merciful woman is responsible for the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the next thing you know, Moshe grows up and he defends a Hebrew. And the next thing you know, he tries to bring peace between 2 Israelites. And the next thing you know, he chases away the shepherds and he saves the shepherdess. Why does God appear in a sneh and not any other bush? Velo ilan acher. Could have come in any other bush. Petunias, hydrangeas, alstomeria, begonias, lilacs, lavender. Mishum ino anochi b'tzara. A thorn bush is prickly, it has thorns. Baruch Shalom is saying, when your friend is suffering, how could you not be suffering along with them? How could you not feel their pain? How could you make their suffering worse? Compassion is the underlying theme of what formed our nation. The Medrash tells us, I just want to see something. Yeah, I still need to keep screen sharing. The Medrash tells us in Medrash Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Beis Siman Beis, Medrash tells us, Va'af Moshe lo v'chano kosh baruch hu ela b'tzon. How is Moshe tested if he was the right one to be the leader? What was the test if he's the right one to be the leader? You know what, I might be able to quickly get, I didn't prepare on the screen, but I might be able to very quickly, I'm quoting from my notes which are printed up, here's the Medrash. But I might be able to really quickly find it and you could actually follow along. It won't take me long at all. I'm going to be there in a second. It's at the end of this simon. Here we go. Here we are. Okay. Paula, could you see? Va'af Moshe. Va'af Moshe. Yeah, okay. Va'af Moshe lo bechana, like bechina. And even Moshe, how was he tested? Because Baruch Hu tested him el batzon, with the flocks. I'm a rabbi saying, the rabbi is a chon of recha say, Kishahaya Moshe Rabbeinu Allah Hashem ro et sono shal Yisrael v'midbar barach mimenu gidi. Famous maisa, which I'm sure you've heard. So you're seeing it here in Medrash Shmos Rabbah. I'm still saying Bereishis. We only switched to Shmos last week. Medrash Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Beis Siman Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu Allah Hashem is a shepherd for the flocks of Yisrael's father now. And he's in the desert. He's minding his own business. Barach mimenu gidi. A little lamb ran away. The rats acharav. And Moshe ran after. Ad shehigia la chasis. It came to a little oasis in the desert, a little pool of water. Kevan shehigia la chasis. He sees that the lamb came to this little oasis, this little drinking hole. Nizdamna lo brecha shamayim. So he comes to this oasis, this clearing. And a little pool of water is prepared and ready. The Amad had to deal the shtos. And this little lamb finds water and it starts to drink. And Moshe's running and running. Kevan shigia Moshe at. So Moshe runs after this one sheep. And he reaches the sheep, Amar. Anilo hayisio dea sharat hayisim ipnei tzama. I didn't know, you didn't mean to misbehave. You weren't trying to run away from the fox. I didn't realize you were so thirsty. You were running away because you're thirsty. Ayef ata. You must be so tired. Constant trembling makes it extremely difficult for me to button buttons, tie loose shoelaces, or eat without spilling food. My voice shakes. It's hard for me to express myself. When I try to eat, write, my handwriting isn't neat. I cannot travel on public transportation without support. Constant trembling makes it difficult for me to eat without spilling my food. Moshe says, oh, you need help? I didn't know you need help. I didn't know you were thirsty and you couldn't hold the cup of water. I didn't know you were running away from me, not to misbehave, because you couldn't help yourself. Ayef ata, you must be so tired. Hirkiva al ktefo. V'haya mahalech. Wow. I just realized something. It reminds me of Reuven. Yu haya yodei Reuven. Shakosh baruch hu ma'achtif alav. Ve'aitzilem yadam. Haya masil b'ktefo al aviv. Ha, the contrast of Reuven. Not carrying Yosef home on his shoulders. Medrash was Rabbi. I just taught last week. I don't remember which venue. Was it this venue? I don't remember. No, it wasn't. We spoke about names last week. On the contrast of Moshe carrying the little lamb home on his shoulders. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu said, Yesh lecha rachamim l'ghod sonol shabasar adam. You're so nice to a flock of sheep. This is how you take care of a flock of human that belongs to flesh and blood. You have so much rachamim. Kach hayacha ta tiret soni Yisrael. I swear by your life that you will be the shepherd for my flock Israel. Heve, like the pasuk says, Perek Gimel pasuk Aleph, Moshe hayaro etzon Yisrael chosna. Yesh lecha rachamim. They're called Shifra and Pua because they clean and clue the baby. Who cares? Tell me they saved the baby from death. So call them savior of Israel. Tell me they, I don't know, hid the baby away. So call them hider of Israel. She cooed to the baby. Everyone's in the middle of being killed. She cooed to the baby. just a little bit extra compassion and concern from someone who, for someone who's in great pain, to build a person up. Vatechayana es hayiladim. And then this little girl, a little boy, one is watching what will happen to the baby and one is crying over what will happen to the baby. And then Bas Paro comes down, Vatachamol alav chemla. And then Moshe grows up and he saves an Israelite who's being beaten. And he brings peace, or tries to, between two Israelites. And he saves the shepherdesses. And he runs after a little lamb. Kosh Baruch Hu says, wow, Kocha Yacha Tatiratzon Yisrael. I swear by your life, you'll be a shepherd for my flock, Israel. Moshe Hayaro. And how did Kosh Baruch Hu appear? In a snare. Why? Ima Nochi Bitzara. Because Kosh Baruch Hu said, I'm teaching you, Moshe Rabbeinu, that your role is to be Imo Anochi Betzara. We daven a medicine will be found to help me live a normal life. I really just want to be like everybody else. Inside, I'm just a regular yeshiva bachar. And ilo hayisi odea sharvatsa yisim et pneitzama. I didn't know it's hard for you to take a drink. Ayevata. You must be so tired. Here, kival k'tefo, v'hayim ahalich. I will carry your burden with you, and together we will walk. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how much rachamim you have to lead sheep that belong to Yisro in the desert. I swear by your life, you will lead my sheep. You will be the shepherd for my flock, Israel. This week's Sedra, which I prepared right here on the screen for you, the Sedra begins in Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis. And Elohim spoke to Moshe and he said, I am Hashem. This is the beginning of the parasha, Va'era. Va'era, oh, there you go. Shmos Va'era. Va'era al Aram, Yitzchak, al Yaakov, b'Kal Shakai. I appeared to the forefathers with Kal Shakai, the name of God, I did not know. Then in Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hei, you have the appearance of the word Vigam. The Gamakimosi Esbisiitam, the Rebbeinu Shalom speaking to Moshe. And also, I will establish my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojourns that they sojourn in. Vagama Nishamati Asnakas Panei Yisrael, and I have also heard the groans of the children of Israel that the Egyptians are enslaving them. And I remember my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem, Vahotseisi Aschem, Utacha Sivos Mitzrayim. V'hitzalti aschem me'avodasam, v'ga'alti aschem bezroana tu v'shvatim gedolim, v'lakachti aschem li la'am. Arba l'shonis ge'ula unfold on the promise of v'gam hakimosi es brisi itam. And then, of course, the fifth, which we're still waiting for, the kosha Eliyahu, v'evisi aschem el ha'aretz, ashon asasi es yadi l'seisos al avam esbukul Yaakov, v'asati osam echem morash ani Hashem. So we have an interesting introduction to the Arba Lashonis of Geula. V'gam ani shamati asnakas b'nei Yisrael. I have also heard the groans of the children of Israel that the Egyptians are enslaving them. And I remember my covenant. And therefore, v'otzeisi v'yitzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti, the Geula comes. What is this talking about? So I heard many years ago, a number of years ago, an insight for Rabbi Shai Shechter in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe, the great Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mikotz, 1700s. The great lover of Jews, defender of Jews, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditcher was also. So the great Kotzker says, what's v'gam ani shamati? I have also heard. Why doesn't Hashem just say, I've heard the groans of the children of Israel, that the Egyptians are enslaving them, and therefore, v'tzizu v'tzaldi v'galdi v'alkachdi v'evesi. V'gam means also. So if you say, I am also going to the zoo on Chol HaMoed, that means someone else you know is going to the zoo. Maybe the whole neighborhood's going to the zoo. If you say, I'm also going to the supermarket, that's even someone else in the house. You say to one of your kids, I'm also going to the supermarket. Oh, did daddy also go to the supermarket? Also means I'm joining with somebody else. That's v'gam ani shamati. So as the Kotzker, and Jews feel each other's pain. Hashem says, I also want to be mishtatif. And a Yid commiserates with, supports, davens for, feels for his fellow Yid. And we don't leave a Jew in isolation. Then v'gam. V'gam anishamat. He says, Rabbi Hashem, you feel each other's pain? Imo anochi b'tzara, no se ba'olim chaveiro, v'gam anishamati. I also heard. And that's when the geula comes. First, there has to be v'gam ani. When you hear the pain of your fellow Yid, when you're in a Nisayan, because every slave was in a Nisayan, but you have enough heart to feel the Nisayan of your fellow in the barrack next to you, in the bed next to you, in the apartment next to you, in the house next to you. What do you think? Our house exists in a vacuum? The person in the next house doesn't have any Nisayanus also? I mean, you could pick up a Sefer Tehillim not only for yourself, but for your fellow Jew. V'gam ani shamati. Then I also heard. That's when the geula comes. See what I'm saying? When I was preparing the shir that I actually never thought of before, I wrote it in my notes. I was thinking, verse 4. It also says, V'gam, this is just a side point. V'gam hakimosi is brisi itam. L'seisa mis eretz kanan is eretz megure mesher garba. The first V'gam is vis-a-vis eretz Yisrael. Shem will establish his covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. The second V'gam is the geula will come because he hears our groans. So I was thinking perhaps you could apply the same word of the Kotzko to the first V'gam. The Rebbeinu Shalom is saying, when will I bring you back to Eretz Yisrael? When will I join with you to bring the Geula, to bring you Kibbutz Galios? When you feel for Eretz Yisrael, when you join with Eretz Yisrael in her destiny, when you cry for Eretz Yisrael, when you truly desire Eretz Yisrael, that's when I will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. V'gam hakimosi is brisi itam. I will join with you in your longing for Eretz Yisrael when you first desire Eretz Yisrael and you join with her pain. The pasuk says in Kapitel Kuf Beis of Tehillim, Ata takum terachim tzion ki esa chanana kivel moed. Shem, get up and comfort Tzion. The time to comfort her, the appointed time to redeem her has come. What's the next pasuk? Ki ratzu avadacha esa vanev esa far yechaninu. Because her servants desire her dust and her stones. When will Hashem redeem Tzion? V'gam. When we are mishtatif with Eretz Yisrael, the destiny of Eretz Yisrael, when we have a havas Eretz Yisrael, when we cry for Tzion, b'chol tivcha b'layla, don't let Tzion cry by herself, cry for her, v'gam, then the geula will come. Then the kibbutz galios will come. V'gam ani shamati esnakas b'nei Yisrael, when we join with our fellow Yid. So Hashem says, I'm joining too. Lagamani. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kufa Megimel Aleph, Shir Hamalos LeDavid, Hini Matovu Menayim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad. Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is when brothers can dwell Gam Yachad. When we also feel the pain of another Yid, then the Rebbeinu Shalom says, V'gamani Shamati, then the Geula comes, V'otseisi V'yitzalti V'ga'alti V'lakachti. Do you have any stories to share, Gavi? I only have sad stories. That's why I like to tell jokes and riddles. To not think about the sad stories. Any tips for other kids with chronic medical conditions? The Torah teaches us everything Hashem does is good, whether we understand it or not. This world is temporary. Heaven is good things in life along with challenges. Focus on the good and you can be happy. You're not defined by your medical condition. And Hashem is healthy even if your body is not. There's a purpose to suffering even when we don't understand. It is our choice to be angry and bitter or happy and kind. It is our choice to be angry and bitter or happy and kind. It's our choice to look away or it's our choice to join with a fellow Jew in their pain. It's our choice to laugh when someone falls down or vatishlach as amasa, send forth your hand. It's our choice to avert our eyes when someone spills their food. Or it's our choice, mas b'kosa mayinu mazon. It's our choice to not be friends with someone who's different. Or it's our choice to be like Moshe Rabbeinu and run after the little lamb. who couldn't care for herself and who couldn't carry herself. I dislike feeling isolated. I'm a friendly person. I want to have lots of friends. But very few kids have the courage to get past appearances. I have some older friends. Vayigdal Moshe. Vayigdal Moshe. Vayetzi Alechav. We all need to grow up a little and go out to see how our brothers are faring. My older friends who learn Gemara with me appreciate the person I am inside. I enjoy playing with babies and small children. They don't care that I tremble all the time. Shifra, al shem shemisha peres asavalad. Pua, al shem shepoa vehoga revalad. Vagam anisha mati. I want to be a partner in the geula. When you are partners with each other. When we feel the pain of another, are sensitive to one another, alleviate the burden of our fellow Jew in whatever way we can. Sometimes it only means you could daven. Sometimes you can't do anything, but you can always daven. You can cry. A person once came to the grave of Nassim Tzvi Finkel Zatzal. Talk about involuntary shaking. And she had an appointment. The Rashiva said, I can't do anything for you right now. I'm too sick. So he said, I'm going to lay on the couch and you sit there and you say Tehillim. You will say Tehillim and I will cry for you. When we alleviate the burden of our fellow Jew, whatever we can, then the gam, Shem will be mishtatif and come down to redeem us. And I was thinking that maybe gam is an acronym for Gemilas Chasad Me'ahava. And when we do Gemilas Chasad Me'ahava, then gam will equal geula miyad. The redemption will come. And we will be zocha not only to the first four, but to the fifth. So when we meet a Gavi, lots of people are different in many ways. That's how the Ribbono Shel Olam put them here. Hashkafically, physically, emotionally, financially. You just have to think a little about how Am Yisrael was founded. Think about what you know from 116 years of slavery. Think of the narratives the Torah chose to illustrate. Think of what Am Yisrael is founded on. Think of the gam. We all need a little bit more gemilas chesed me'ahava. And then, the gam ani, we will be zochet to geula miyad. If you see a kid with medical challenges, says Gavi, be friendly. Even just a nod and a warm smile can help them feel better about themselves and give them more strength for the ongoing struggles. You cared so much for a little lamb. You carried her home on your shoulders. You'll be the redeemer of my people. Listen with patience if it's hard to understand their words. Try to look deeper and see the real person inside. I don't know who 16-year-old Gabrielle is. I don't understand the question of what is Vigam. I was screen sharing. It's in Perek Vav, the beginning of our Sedra. If you go to the beginning Psukim, you'll see it two times, right at the beginning of Shemos Perek Vav. Vigamini akimosi es brisi, vigamini shamati es nakas b'nei Yisrael asher mitzrayim avidim osam. Okay. Our nation was founded on compassion and chesed. Let us perpetuate the legacy of compassion and chesed. So we will be zochet to geula miyad. Thank you, Rabbi Shabtai. Thank you all for joining. Besoros tova. So she is going on Yom Torah. Please share it with others. I think that it's important. Thank you. Besoros tova, everybody.